So the title of my sermon is Meditations on Grief. Looking at church this week and realizing I neglected to submit that title, I also kind of like to be announced. It works too. You see, when grieving, the answer to the innocent question, how are you, is kind of like that. I have no idea. Until I check and announce it. And I may be just as surprised as you are. I've always been fascinated by how spirituality or religion assist or make a mess of major life events. I have more or less been a theist my whole life, and have even had the joy of feeling as if I have God's cell phone number. Well, in the 90s, it was a pager. And in the 80s, I think it was a stuffed animal that I snuggled really tight. But nonetheless, it felt like I was on speed dial. And the presence that Rumi talks about, me and the presence, I'm kind of lazy, so I use a shorter, faster word, God. I found that word not from not just my Baptist roots that gets me like all like jammy with Lean on Me, but also in the Jewish mystical traditions as well. They do a capital G, an exclamation point, and a capital D. That's cool to me. So I use that word to describe the immense force of creation, the thing that I just can't quite wrap language around. That could be a him, her, here. I'm fond of saying God herself is one that I enjoy. But so me and the presence, sometimes we don't always have things to say to each other. And we don't always agree when we talk. Sometimes we argue. Nonetheless, I always feel heard, even when I don't feel particularly worthy. But this last year, from the fall of 2013 to present, has been an eye-opener for me and widened my experience theology. When I say experience theology, that feels fancy. I'm talking about the stuff that didn't require faith or study, anything but me observing in my life and what worked. Not what worked for someone else, but what made my heart sing. Like the hymn we just sang, what gives me goosebumps? That's experiential theology for me. So, in my theology, I've always had a God out there, or whatever the heck you want to call that. I struggled as I matured and realized I had God in here, in me. That's pretty cool. And a lot of responsibility, might I add. And I think that works for everyone, that perhaps you too have God in you. Sorry for the responsibility. And those basically sounded pretty good, but it wasn't enough when my father died. I got to watch a soul loosen from a body. And I am very sure that the personality left the clay and earth flesh. And what was left was no longer the person that I knew so well. I got to see it. So I'm very sure that whatever animates us is more than blood pumping. And even experiencing it, and by the way, still having very little interest in figuring out where it goes, I don't know, I'll get there. My prior understanding of whatever the presence is didn't cut it. It wasn't enough. Well, crap. So in this experience, I pulled together a few memories and snippets from my journal, like Dear Crying Fit, to share with you as I rode through the quiet whirlwind. I've read that the job of a shaman or hero is to go on a journey that no one else can or will, especially those of self, and return with the wisdom and prize to share with the people. Every time I think of something like that, I think of Monty Python and the peasants rejoice. Yay. Yeah. And so fancying myself some sort of witchy mystic, I figured I was up to the task. And the first thing that I learned was I can be one of the dumbest smart people I know. Instead of returning as a conquering hero to reveal the secrets that I have now mastered, I've simply become more aware of what I don't know and how much continued things I have to work on. I planned on coming before you as some sort of perfectly wrapped up after school special, where that usually goes something like this. She had a life that was pretty good, it was chugging along. Then something happened and it was terrible. But then she learned her lessons and made new friends and hugged her parents and realized they were right all along. End credits. Theme. So as the music swells and the credits roll, turns out in real life, the actual cast is kind of looking around, scratching their head, wondering, well, now what? At the beginning of my journey, I wanted to crack myself open in how I dealt with vulnerability, fear, and uncertainty. Piece of cake. Also at the end of February of this year, my father died and rocked my most internal mechanisms and foundational pieces. So I did what I set out to do. I cracked myself open, and I'm still working on it, and I have not put those pieces back together yet. I realized this one day when I wrote in my journal, I found myself in the county library, and I'm staring blankly at the shelves way too long. I think I'm looking for something, but everything, all of my favorite authors aren't appealing to me. And suddenly, I realize I am looking for the How Not to Feel Like a Hot Mess book. Maybe with its sequel of you've learned all of your lessons, worked through your issues, integrated it all, and now you're more awesome. I decided at that point it was time to leave the library. So today, as an act of embracing my vulnerability, I come before you as Michelle, broken, still grieving, joyful, hopeful, depressed, uncertain, whole, and still standing. It's confusing to me too. My next snippet of memory begins to put some of these harder pieces together. I'm pretty sure I've merged two different events together because memory is funny like that. But both of them involved the crazy whirlwind that is Thanksgiving, Christmas, Yule, Kwanzaa, that part of the year, somewhere in the November, December timeframe, where you get lots of family together and eat a lot of good food. I remember my dad laying on the floor in our living room. This was the room that children weren't allowed to be in unless you were playing the piano or receiving visitors. He is now laying on the floor surrounded by three dogs. He's in a Redskins hoodie, which is a far cry from his active duty military wear I'm used to seeing him in. And he is giggling and petting all of them, looking about as serene as possible. The second snippet of this same memory is us gathered at the table, not too far from the untouchable room. We wouldn't dare eat in there. And he is also telling us that he's now going back for another round of chemo. His leukemia counts are looking a little rocky. It was then that I realized his serenity was probably not divorced from this news. And he became a superhero to me, because I'm not that graceful. Another snippet reminds me of the Rumi poem that I read earlier. This is where the woo-woo comes in, the woo-woo mystical part. And it's another act of vulnerability to share it. It's turned into a nightly ritual these last few days. I go to my altar. There are no fancy prayers. I, the priest, light the candle that my shaking hands put into whatever holder I found a couple of days ago when I first received the call that my dad went to the hospital. The universe and I make no promises to one another. The feeling some would call God draws very close, and there is only a breath of separation between all things, starting with me and the lit candle. The place in me that is God is not very far from the place in him, my Father, that is vast. The thudding heart and blood roaring in my ears dims as I take the breath and step from separation towards unity. In this state, this I have now. I ask the same questions each night. Do you want to stay or go? I'll help, though I'm not happy about it. And I will respect your wishes. Do you want to stay? One night the answer is yes. And ringing in the unity with that yes, I pray and sing and share life. Night after night, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, one night the answer is wait. So we sit together and wait until I'm tired enough to sleep, as insomnia has started to kick in at this point. It was many days later that my mom told me that that Saturday was their 42nd wedding anniversary. He waited. The next night, I feel the presence as I take the step from separation to unity, but I hear nothing. It will be soon. And even with God wrapped around me like a warm blanket and nearly two decades of pagan priesthood in me, I realized that having God's cell phone in this moment wasn't enough. That having God in me and out there wasn't enough. I remembered the months of practice and awareness of vulnerability at this point. The universe shows off sometimes, prepping me for these moments. This is a learning moment. Okay, so I'm actually an introvert. I play a good extrovert on TV. And stress and strain tends to bring this out in sharper relief. In my observations along the way, I discovered that I turtle up. I go in and quiet. But with my grief and struggle this time, that was not going to be an option. So here's where the woo-woo mystical crashes back into our daily lives, in this body, in this place, with these people. Hi. I reached out instead for friends and family. Just as I held my dad's hand as he crossed in my mom's hand those last few days and the crazy week that followed, I asked for the same on social media, and no one batted an eye. Hey, friends in Boston, hold my hand. Be with me. Hey, cousins in Georgia, hold my hand. Okay. Good thoughts, prayers, juju, whatever we called it. With or without being physically present, I was held. Not just by divinity, that I felt unwaveringly, might I add, but by people, and my whole family was. More snippets from journal. The phone will not stop ringing. And within everyone's condolence call, it's everyone else's story of their loss and their grief. And to be perfectly honest, I don't care right now. We just want to sleep, not have to make small talk, and not make any more choices right now. Note to self, keep condolence calls short and sweet. Make sure the widow or whoever needs that moment off does not have to take everyone. We then instituted a round robin policy with the children and said, go over there to mom. It's the first time I've seen her not micromanage a situation like that. It was pretty cool. Another snippet. I saw four people in active duty Air Force gear and combat boots drive up in a pickup truck on their lunch break at the tail end of the winter. They brought bags, rakes, yard tools, and cleaned a winter's worth of sticks, leaves, and smuts off my mom's front yard. They organized it quietly and just casually called 15 minutes before they arrived, because they had overheard her say it needed to be done before everyone started arriving. Another snippet of grief. Please eat this. Food just keeps coming. Eat it with me. Look, you'll see I have eaten if you eat it with me. Take some home. Grace carried it in here. I especially remember, and I didn't have the words to put it down on paper, asking for prayers and good juju and love and all of that, and literally being able to be present in ways that would have been impossible. I remember 2 days of receiving lines and visitations and funerals and calls and visitors and all of these things, and people that I didn't even know breaking into little pieces of grief with my family. Oh, you liked him too? Ah, I have this whole week and all of this family to grieve with. You have me in this moment, in this hug, in this story. And then you're supposed to walk back out that door and go on with your life as if nothing has happened. 2 decades of pagan priesthood showed up, carried on the hands of grace and love by prayers and good juju and thoughts. And instead of being tired, I could be present. It's really amazing how far one life can stretch and touch people. Last snippet. It's a good one. These heels are really cute and very dumb. Sneakers and sweatpants should be allowed at funerals, or at least a costume change. So, what did I learn? What is my prize? I think my prize, my holy grail that I've carried back from this quest that I thought was unsuccessful, is that God, G exclamation point, D, is now a 2 or maybe 3-part equation. It's the presence spoken of by Rumi, inside me and out there. And it's not just the potential in each of us, but also the hands to hold, the hugs and smiles, words, clumsy or exquisite, they're equally cherished. Just being there does make a difference. There's a phrase in some of my communities that we say things like, what is remembered lives. It turned into a mantra. It's a phrase I've heard for many years. What I didn't realize is it includes us, the living, too. So I'm not perfectly wrapped up. I'm still struggling, and I keep looking for the credits. And I'm scratching my head and wondering, now what? And in a few moments of clarity and brilliance, I do know what's next. This moment with you. And after that, this one. That's slightly different from the last. What's great about this isn't just my story. It's a human one. It plays out in our families, jobs, grocery stores, churches, seasons, even the earth herself. Things are going along. Then something happens. And everyone realizes love doesn't reduce the risk of loss. And before the credits roll, we learn that it's worth going through together. Thanks for being present with me.